You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 52, and it's just me and Lou this week. Chris, unfortunately, is unable to make it, so we are going to do what we can to get by without him. It'll be tough, but...
It will be, yes.
Yeah, we'll make it. So... Lou, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good, good.
It's, you know, it started out to be a good week, I guess. Spring is arriving here, and we had snow on the first day of spring. So
yes.
I guess that's ripe for Echo Base.
That is always the best way to start out the week, with a lot of snow.
Spring and snow, yeah, all on the same day.
Yeah. All right, so a couple of housekeeping issues here. Number one, I have a new microphone, which means that the audio levels might be a little different. So feel free to send us feedback if I'm too loud or too soft. Everything sounds okay on this end at the moment, but then, you know, after you record it, you find out that things in the recording don't always sound the way you think they do. So feel free to send us feedback and let us know whether there's something that needs to be tweaked. Be kind. Be kind. I've also changed the panning a little bit. I am slightly to the left and Lou is slightly to the right, just to give a little bit of a stereo effect, just kind of experimenting nice. There a little bit. Yeah.
I like being to the right. That's good for me.
Okay. Well, there you go. I could probably pan you right out the door here, right out.
No,
there.
No, it'd be nice.
So I think that by the time most people hear this, the Star Wars Podcast Awards will be over. But if not, I think it ends on the 24th. If you haven't voted yet, you may still have a chance.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So head over
really
there.
Really appreciate your votes.
Yeah. And vote. And even if you don't vote for us, there are a lot of good candidates. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah. They are.
If you like getting your podcasts on Stitcher, the Random Chatter Podcast Network is now available on Stitcher. The individual shows will be available soon. But right now, if you want to get the entire network, my understanding is that's how most of our listeners subscribe anyway, is they just get the whole Random Chatter network. So that is now available on Stitcher. I don't use Stitcher, don't know a whole lot about it, but it seems to be pretty popular and we got a lot of requests for it. So there you go. More power to you. All right. So we are going to get to the news and then we're going to kind of wing it through a discussion. We don't want to get into anything that's too heavy duty without Chris here for the discussion. So we are going to give the chat room an opportunity to throw in some suggestions and otherwise we're going to just kind of spin the discussion off of the news this week. Before we get into the news, wanted to go over the This Is Madness update because boy, do we not know how to pick them. Wow. Well, I mean, we did okay. Today it looks like it's Rey versus Ezra. Rey has 87% of the vote. So I think we were pretty much, we were on the board there. Boba Fett versus General Hux. Boba Fett has 68% at the moment versus Hux is 32. So again, I think that, we nailed it there. Good day today. Shall we look over the past, the past competitors? Lou, did I lose you? You're muted, aren't you?
I was muted, yeah. I was trying to hit unmute and recover quickly enough that you wouldn't know, but yeah.
No, I tell you, we lose Chris and everything just falls apart.
I was making some great comments, too, and, you know, I don't know.
You know, I've noticed there's a trend. You always make your best comments when you're muted. Why is that? I don't know.
Yeah, thanks.
Joel in the chat room, Team Wilhuff. Sorry, Tarkin did not make it. Tarkin was beaten by Maul. Yeah, a lot of our picks didn't really fare too well. We were right on Obi-Wan versus Padme, and R2-D2 beat Sabine. Luke beat Hera. Han beat Chewie. So, you know, those were pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of started falling apart. Yoda beat Finn. Which
I was surprised about. I mean, yeah, Yoda's popular and, you know, he's been around for a long time, you know, but I don't know. I was really hoping a new character was going to come out and really, you know, shine.
Yeah. And we have Rey. So,
yeah, we do.
You know, that helps.
I was hoping for a little more love for Finn, too. I mean, I liked him.
Yeah. So far, the other new characters, Sabine, Hera. In fact, so far from what we've listed, the oldest character in the matchup has won. And that holds true moving forward to Ahsoka beat BB-8. I wasn't really sure how that one was going to go.
I was surprised about that. That was probably the biggest surprise I've seen so far. I thought for sure with all the love BB-8's gotten from, you know, TFA, he was going to just sail right on through.
Yeah, but Ahsoka for the current generation of Star Wars fans for the newest generation of Star Wars fans is the hero.
I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, she is this generation's Luke Skywalker.
More popular than ever now that she's back on Rebels, you know.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say back on Rebels, but on Rebels.
Yeah. And she's got the big confrontation with Vader coming up.
Hmm.
So.
I'm just bitter because I had BB-8 winning the whole thing. So.
Yeah. That did not fare well for pretty much any of us.
Nah.
Vader beat the fifth brother. Not surprising. Jabba beat the seventh sister. I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I kind of thought the seventh sister would move on. I mean, who likes Jabba, really? I mean,
yeah.
Big
lazy slug. I can relate. Palpatine beat Ventress.
Yeah, that was expected, I suppose.
Maul beat Tarkin. This is another one where one of the few where the newer character beat the older character.
Mm-hmm. And I actually called that one right.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could have seen that one going either way. Tarkin's got a lot of fans. So that was an interesting one. Kylo Ren beat Jango.
I was a little surprised about that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say they like Jango better than Boba lately because, you know, cooler armor, I think, you know, newer, shinier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, and Kylo Ren just really didn't do it for me in TFA. He's not as bad as I'd like him to be. You know, he wasn't as strong of a character.
But I think one of the things they wanted to do with Kylo Ren was show him developing as a bad guy. Generally, when we get bad guys, we don't get them developing. They walk on screen down the hallway of the Tantive IV with bodies strewn around them and this, you know, heavy mechanical breathing, and you just know that this guy is the epitome of all evil. Like, you don't see him develop into this really menacing character. So this is something kind of new we're going to get to see. I mean, I guess you could argue that the prequels were all about Anakin doing that, but they weren't really about they weren't about Darth Vader developing as Darth Vader. They were about Anakin falling apart. So it's a little bit different spin. So this time around, we're actually getting to see the bad guy come into his own as a bad guy.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way to look at it. I mean, if I change my opinion now and say, okay, if we get a stronger Kylo Ren in episodes 8 and 9, I'll be happy. If he grows into his badness, I'd like that.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
So he beat Jango, and then Dooku beat Phasma.
That surprised me a lot, too.
Yeah, I didn't know what to think of it. I hate Dooku so much as a character that...
Yeah, I know. He doesn't do anything for me either.
Yeah.
And Phasma, I mean, underused in TFA. Hopefully we get a lot more of her in episode 8.
But it's really hard to argue Phasma against Dooku here because,
yeah,
you know, she doesn't do anything in TFA and he is much more well developed. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. But chat room, we'll just have to do our own character matchups on random chatter. You know, I was actually thinking about starting a bracket of something else. I've seen some other place had Star Wars creatures.
Okay.
I think that would be kind of cool. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm thinking other brackets might be fun, you know, pitting different Jedi against each other. I mean, we'd have to dip into the EU a little bit, perhaps. Different fighter pilots. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And, you know, you could, and when you do that, you can always take out Luke and Han and,
right,
you know, things like that. So
make it a little more evenly matched up. And do some Rebels versus Imperials.
Yeah, which is one of the nice things about the creatures is that there aren't really that many creatures that, you know, have saved the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the Yodas.
Right.
And, you
know. There's not many good creatures, yeah.
Yeah. I think
I'm not sure you'd want to really do another, you know, kind of a game like this. I mean, you did so well in our movie draft.
I did. I'm telling you. Once you see what Batman versus Superman pulls in, you're going to see that I am so far ahead of everybody else.
For a couple weeks, yeah, maybe.
Oh, you're saying just because it's the first film to be released?
I'm not saying that, mm-hmm. but yeah, it might be a wage about an early lead. I know, according to poll on randomchatter.com, Civil War is pulling in more votes than Batman.
Hush. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So coming up in This Is Madness, we've only got two matchups left in the base level brackets here. We've got Leia versus Poe Dameron and Grievous versus Callus. I think Grievous will probably take it against Callus, but I don't know about Leia and Poe.
Yeah, I think you're right about Grievous. What did we say for Leia?
I know we selected Poe. I don't know whether we predicted Poe would win.
Trying to find him. No, actually, in mine, I predicted Poe, but in who I think will win, I predicted Leia.
Ah, okay.
And then Rey would take either one of them in my two drafts.
I still think Rey's going all the way to the end.
It's looking that way. I mean, I had BB-8 taking her out, so I guess, you know, if that's not there, I guess she has a clear shot right to the end.
Yeah, you can talk all the smack you want to about the movie draft, but... BB-8 didn't hold.
I thought he was just going to roll over the competition.
Yeah, well, he rolled somewhere straight downhill. All right. Well, let's get into the news this week. C2E2, which is the Chicago something entertainment expo.
Okay, I'll buy that.
I don't know. There's two C's and there's two E's. That's all I know. C2E2. Anyway, that was this week, and there's been some Star Wars news to come out of there, primarily regarding books.
Books are good.
Books are good, yep.
Yeah, I just started Lost Stars.
Excellent. I picked it up on audiobook. I've not actually started it yet. It's hard for me because I generally don't read anymore. I only do audiobooks. That's something you and I have talked about for quite a while now. And I used to have a really long commute to work, and now I have an 8-minute commute. And by the time
a year and a half to get through a book.
Yeah, well, I tried starting The Perfect Weapon, the short story by Delilah Dawson, I believe it is. Delilah S. Dawson.
Okay.
And I must have started the thing like three different times because I get just far enough in it that there's, you know, it's the stereotypical she's at a bar and someone tries to mess with her and she puts them in her place. And then you start to move on to the real story. And like three times I've gone through that and still can't remember like what the character's actual name is and things like that. So I think I'm actually going to have to break out my Kindle and start truly reading again. I just don't have a lot of time at home for that, which is why I always did it in the car. Yes. Thank you, Mike. Mike Templeton from the Sabacc Table podcast, part of the Random Chatter podcast network here in the chat room, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. I thought it was comic. I didn't know if it was technically, and I didn't want to look like an idiot. And instead, I succeeded even without trying. Look at that.
And of course, you have a fellow podcaster on the network pointing out your mistake.
Exactly.
We all like to do that.
Yes, I know. It is a thing. Yeah. So anyway, we have some new release dates. The Force Awakens paperback, the Force Awakens novelization by Alan Dean Foster, is coming September 27th. And it is going to include Bait, which is a short story that Foster did for Star Wars Insider, which I have not read.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, I'm curious, too, because there are some authors. Well, Stephen King is a perfect example of this. I don't like his novels at all, but I love his short stories. I'm not a big fan of Alan Dean Foster, but maybe the short story would be a little different. Maybe I'd like that. So I should check that out.
Okay.
Cool. And also, The Perfect Weapon, which I was just talking about, by Delilah S. Dawson, is also included in The Force Awakens paperback. That has been available for a while now, both as an audiobook that's a little under 2 hours long, and also as an ebook. So, if you haven't picked it up as an ebook, you can pick it up with the paperback novelization. So, there you go. And, I also want to take a moment to point out, the comments I've made about me not being a fan of Alan Dean Foster's style of writing, I want to continue to try to be really fair about this. There are a lot of people who do like it, and a lot of people have liked the novelization. I don't want my comments to be misconstrued as me recommending people not get the novelization. That's not the case at all. Everybody has a different style of entertainment that they like, whether it be movies or books or television or whatever. And different authors that we all like. I just don't happen to like this one particular author. It's not a big deal. It's a personal thing. I don't think that he's a bad author or anything. So I just want to throw that out there. You know, don't not get the novel because, you know, I've whined a little bit about, you know, oh, I wish he wrote a different style or something. You know, I don't. Yeah. Also, Aftermath, Empire's End, which is the third and final book in the Aftermath series by Chuck Wendig. That is coming January 17th, 2017.
Oh, still a long way away.
Yeah. So 1/17/17.
When's the second one come out, or did it already come out? Did I miss it?
No, the second one is called Aftermath Life Debt, and Life Debt is coming out July 19th.
Okay.
So not too far away.
Yeah. When I heard you say it was the third book, I'm like, wait, did I miss the second one already? Oh, my God.
Not yet, no. Now, the description for the second one, I don't have it here in front of me because I wasn't planning to discuss it, but I noticed that it references Han and Chewie and them getting into some trouble and having another debt that they have to pay off. And I'm wondering how much of Life Debt is going to center on Han and Chewie as opposed to the Wexleys and the other characters that we met in the first Aftermath novel, or if it's going to be all of them put together. I wouldn't mind that, but I would like something to tie those characters in with the rest of Star Wars, because I kind of felt that that was one of the, how do I put it without making it sound derogatory? Cause I really didn't mind Aftermath. I felt like it wasn't really part of Star Wars yet. Like, we needed a little more of the familiarity that we've talked about with The Force Awakens, where J.J. Abrams kind of integrated things that we're already familiar with in Star Wars into The Force Awakens. But with Aftermath, other than the interludes, it almost felt like it could have just been set in any old sci-fi universe. It was a good story, and the characters, you know, I was a little iffy at first, but I eventually got to really connect with the characters. But it just didn't really feel particularly Star Wars, and then combined with the fact that we all had the assumption that this was going to fill in the gaps of what happened, at least to some extent, kind of give us an idea of what was going on after Endor.
Yeah, that was my biggest complaint with Aftermath, was that we didn't get that. I was really looking forward to hearing just a little bit more about what was going on after, you know, between that and The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And, I've been chomping at the bit now for 2 years about that, and I have not gotten it, so.
Yeah, well, the good news is it's coming. I mean, we are now starting to get a release schedule that's going to start filling that in. And like I said, I didn't mind those characters. If they bring them into the fold, so to speak, That would make me a lot happier. And I'm hoping maybe that's what happens with Life Debt.
Okay.
We don't have a description of Empire's End yet. Of course, it's pretty early on. Another novel that is still coming, Bloodline, by Claudia Gray. That's coming May 3rd. We have known that for a while, but there is a description of it now. So the official description, witness the birth of the Resistance. When the Rebellion defeated the Empire in the skies above Endor, Leia Organa believed it was the beginning to a lasting peace. But after decades of vicious infighting and partisan gridlock in the New Republic Senate, that hope seems like a distant memory. Now a respected senator, Leia must grapple with the dangers that threaten to cripple the fledgling democracy, from both within and without. Underworld kingpins, treacherous politicians, and imperial loyalists are sowing chaos in the galaxy. Desperate to take action, senators are calling for the election of a first senator. It is their hope that this influential post will bring strong leadership to a divided galaxy. As the daughter of Darth Vader, Leia faces with distrust the prospect of any one person holding such a powerful position, even when supporters suggest Leia herself for the job. But a new enemy may make this path Leia's only option, for at the edges of the galaxy, a mysterious threat is growing.
Okay, that seems like what I want to hear. This is more about the, you know, birth of the, you know, new government after the Empire. I like that.
Yeah, I think that this is, this is exactly what we've been begging for ever since, even before The Force Awakens was released. We've talked about wanting to know what the state of the galaxy is, and this, I think, is going to be a real eye-opener.
Well, you know, and like I said, I'm starting to read Lost Stars now. I'm probably a little more than halfway through it in the audiobook. And it's not filling in, you know, the gaps that happen there. It's taking place in the same time frame that, episodes 4, 5, and 6 took place. And it's nice because it's set in that same world. So it feels really, you know, at home. And I like the way, you know, Claudia Gray wrote that. So hopefully I like the way she writes this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still looking to get into Lost Stars. The more I read about it and the more I see the reader's reactions to it, I'm pretty excited for it. And Claudia Gray at C2E2 also stated that one character from Lost Stars will appear in Bloodline.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to the end yet, so I don't know who's going to be left. But
it's not the one you like. That one dies.
Of course. Yeah, thanks.
I don't even know what... Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Whatever. Spoilers.
Yeah. Just kidding. All right. So finally, October 4th, we have Catalyst, a Rogue One story. Yeah, that was announced.
That's so cool.
This is apparently going to be a prequel to Rogue One. The author has not yet been announced, but apparently it's going to be a name that we're familiar with. That's the impression I get. And another quick bit of information, there is also going to be a Rogue One comic miniseries announced that will also be a prequel, and it will also be released prior to the film. It'll be a 3-issue miniseries, and then there's also going to be a one-shot.
Cool.
So
I you know, I'm hoping they do a good job with this leading up to Rogue One, because I mean obviously we have this huge wave we're riding after TFA, but how much of that's going to be lost on a movie that may not fit into the new storyline?
Right.
I mean, you and I are going to go see it. All of our listeners are going to go see it because, you know, we're fans. We'll look at anything Star Wars.
Right.
But the majority of people that saw The Force Awakens saw it because, you know, A, it was getting good reviews. B, it was another saga, you know, another addition to the Star Wars saga. You know, I don't know. Is it going to be, you know, what's it going to do in the theaters? And if they don't have this good lead up with a lot of stuff to get more people excited about it.
That's a good point.
Might be hard to do.
Well, but the question is how much of this lead up is going to affect that demographic that you're talking about who might be on the fence about going to see it. I mean, the mainstream audience is what they're really trying to fight to get, because they know they have us. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, they don't have to fight.
The stuff that we're talking about here is stuff that we're going to read in the mass masses won't, you know.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, you have to also keep in mind that a lot of the Star Wars novels are number one, you know, bestsellers on New York Times list. So this still could help do exactly what you're talking about it and bring in some of that mainstream audience. And the other thing that it does have going for it, we've talked so much about how Rogue One is going to have difficulty with that mainstream audience. There's no Jedi. There's no Luke Skywalker saga. As Joel pointed out just now in the chat room, war sells. That's true. And just want the Rogue One stuff to have the Rebels cast in it. That would be kind of cool. Yeah.
That Mike, would be sweet.
I could agree with that. But anyway, so in addition to the fact that war does sell, I mean, any type of a conflict does sell, whether it's, again, movies or TV or books or whatever. And conflict does make things interesting. But then in addition to that, this is something that even if people don't know the players, they know about the Death Star.
Right.
And they know that plans were acquired somehow, because that's the whole thing with the introduction of R2-D2 and the introduction of Princess Leia. This is a moment that we're all familiar with, at least tangentially. So now we're going to see the actual moment occur. So even if we don't have familiarity with the characters, which is generally what brings people in to see successive movies in a series, it's the characters that bring them in. In this case, it's at least an event that everybody's familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, I think the Death Star is a character in itself.
Right.
I mean, it's looming over the entire movie, I think. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. So, I don't know. I think that this is going to be really interesting. Part of me wants to say, oh, you know, I think it's going to do better than we thought. But then on the other hand, do we really think it's not going to do well? But then on the other hand, it is the first Star Wars movie, the Clone Wars thing notwithstanding, that could not do well. So, I mean, this is so, you know, it could go either way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a financial success, probably not to the same extent that TFA was, but. You know, even if it does Deadpool kind of numbers, I think it'll be wildly successful.
Which, actually, if it did Deadpool kind of numbers, it would make it probably the least selling Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm. But ever. As a movie in itself, that's still good
numbers. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I kind of expect this to be the lowest grossing Star Wars movie. Today. I mean, well, if it's not, it's because of the dollars that ticket prices cost these days.
You know, this, I think we can kind of transition into a discussion segment here. And I mean, we basically covered all of the news. It was kind of a slow news week, other than the fact that this is big, you know, this is important news. There's just not a large quantity of it. But, to talk about this a little bit further, we all initially had made the assumption that, you know, Rogue One is really going to have to struggle. It's going to have to get past that stigma of no Jedi, and it's going to have to get past not being part of the Skywalker saga and all this kind of stuff. But the more I think about it, while what you just said makes the most sense, there's a part of me that wonders if maybe this couldn't really surprise us and just blow TFA out of the water. I mean, this is... Basically, it's Saving Private Ryan in space.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, presumably, it's going to have a lot of action in it. It's going to have a completely different director. The people involved in the making of the film are people from really well-known recent modern war films that all did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I mean,
you're going to have the diehard Star Wars fans. You're going to have the action fans. You're going to have the war movie fans. You're going to have the fans who just want to see something a little bit different. I mean, maybe the fact that it is so different from the rest of Star Wars is going to make it stand out that much further. This could, like, just blow everything else out of the water.
I mean, I don't, you know, blow TFA out of the water. I think, wow, that's a tall order.
It is.
Because of the numbers that TFA did. I don't think we're going to see that. I think, I mean, it has a chance if the stars align, pun intended, it could do really, really well. However, I just don't think it's going to do that well. You know, it's going to be a success. It's going to make its money back. It's going to give Disney lots more cash and the want and desire to do more of these kind of movies. But it's not going to do TFA numbers. It's not going to be, you know, $600-700 million.
I don't know.
Really? You think it's going to do that well in the theaters? Wow.
Here's what I'm trying to say.
You know, what, $20 on, what was that?
Every piece of logic insists unequivocally that you're correct. But there's a part of me that just wonders. It's like this has so many different things going for it that are different.
Mm-hmm.
The international box office take could be way, way better with this. I mean, if you look at the international box office for TFA, it did not do well at all in Latin America. It did not do well at all in China. If there's something about Rogue One that helps it along in those areas, I mean, that alone could account for massive, massive amounts of box office that TFA did not get. And I think it's going to do well here in the States. And I think that it could end up bringing at least as much repeat viewing, if not more, than The Force Awakens did, because, again, as an action movie, there are going to be a lot of things going on in the background that people are going to want to go back and see multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you are correct, Lou. But there's a part of me that just in the back of my mind, there's something bugging me about this that makes me think that this could really surprise us, even if it doesn't make perhaps TFA numbers. I think it could be a lot closer than people think. I think it could blow the numbers.
I just pulled up HSX for a second here. And,
okay.
You know,
now, for those who don't know,
a movie draft.
Yeah.
This is the Hollywood Stock Exchange that you can, you know, use to play in the market and, you know, what movies are, you know, bringing in what dollars and kind of speculating how they're going to do.
Fake money. It's an imaginary stock exchange, but it's like the people who are into it are really involved.
So now, right now, Rogue One is trending down a little bit. Not much, just 0.2% down today, but $381 or H dollars, I guess Hollywood dollars. If we compare that to, let's see, I think we just talked about Superman, Batman, that you're anticipating doing really well for your movie draft.
you just have to keep rubbing that in, huh?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to make you feel good.
I'm curious what TFA made on. I mean, so the numbers on HSX are basically what the total box office draw is expected to be.
I'm not sure what exactly the number represents. It's more of just an exchange of what it's got out there for dollars. What, you know, the higher the number, the more speculative the movie's going to do really well.
Yeah, I
don't think it pertains to the dollars it's going to bring in.
I thought it was actually
that are a lot lower than I think they would be.
I thought it was actually the amount that it's supposed to take in at the box office, because I think that then it gets locked out opening weekend, and then the actual numbers get adjusted based on the actual.
Okay, maybe that's true. Well,
yeah, and then that affects whether you know
if that's true, money. you're very happy for Batman v Superman because it's at 431 right now, but. With Rogue One,
Rogue One's going to blow it away.
380. I mean, that's impressive to me. You know, if they think that highly of Rogue One,
I don't think that's highly. I think that's. I don't know. I would not put Batman versus Superman ahead of Rogue One. Plus, I mean, if you look at the word of well, it's not really word of mouth. If you look at the speculation about Batman versus Superman, there are a lot of people who are upset about a lot of things. They're upset about the fact that they didn't like Man of Steel and that this basically is going to be more of the same, at least in the style of storytelling and the style of cinematic experience. There are people who feel that the villain, which seemed as if it was going to have been a bit of a twist, is now a spoiler. It was in the second trailer. There have been a lot of complaints about this film before it's even hit the theaters. And yet it's that far ahead of Rogue One, which is, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's Star Wars. The fact that it's Star Wars alone, so many of us are going to go back for repeat viewings. I have a really hard time believing that you know, Rogue One should be rated at 75% of what Batman versus Superman's expected to do.
Interesting. See, I think Batman v Superman is going to have a bigger draw than Rogue One. Just because it's a brand new movie we haven't seen before. It's the first meeting between Batman and Superman in the theater. There's been a lot of hype about this over the last couple of years. I mean, granted, a lot of hype about Rogue One, but I think the hype in mainstream media for something like Batman v Superman is a lot better than it is for Rogue One right now. That may change as we approach Rogue One's release date.
Well, look at it this way, too. Rogue One is at how much?
380-something, I think it was.
380-something, so almost 400. Batman versus Superman is at what?
430-something.
Okay, so there's only about a $40 million difference between the two, right?
Yep.
Okay. There has been no trailer for Rogue One. There has not been a lot of media hype like you were just stating.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't even been a teaser, unless you want to count the thing at Celebration or the little sizzle reel that was shown privately recently.
Right, which very few people saw. So.
Right. So if you look at it that way, Rogue One, once we get that marketing, and once that really starts to build up, should blow Batman and Superman out of the water completely.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm very interested to see how well this movie does. I mean, I think I'm going to love it. But, you know, I really can't wait to see what it does mainstream-wise, what the average moviegoer thinks about this movie. Because it's so up in the air. It's not, you know, I don't know. How do you really gauge that? I mean, that, you know, what is the audience for Rogue One? Is it three quarters of what TFA was? Is it half of what TFA was?
Or you could argue that there might be a lot of people who would go see that over TFA. Yeah, you got to keep in mind something. We didn't have the controversy with TFA that we did with the prequels. We did not have a lot of fans walking out and saying, oh, I'm done with Star Wars, blah, 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 blah. George Lucas ruined my childhood, whatever. Okay. However, there were still a lot of people who felt that at the least it was too derivative of A New Hope. At the worst, it was a ripoff of A New Hope. There were a lot of people who were so disillusioned with the fact that the EU had been erased or, you know, thrown away or however those people want to refer to it, that they effectively boycotted the movie. I mean, it was not just a little Facebook movement. That the Facebook movement was a Facebook movement that, you know, certain people trying to cause problems for other people, but completely separate from that. I personally know several people who are like, yeah, no, unless it's going to have Thrawn in it, it's not the real sequel to Star Wars, and I'm not going to go. And they were serious, and they did not go see it. Mm-hmm. And these are people who consider themselves diehard fans of the original trilogy, which boggles my mind. I mean, why wouldn't you at least go check it out? Maybe it's not what you want, but it could still be really good. But that's not the point. There are still people who are not going to enjoy this new trilogy, but this is something that's looking back behind the scenes of the trilogy that they do love, that they do revere and hold sacred. There could be a lot of people who for whom this will resonate in a way that TFA didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody for whom TFA did resonate is still also going to go see this. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that there's going to be an additional group of people who will go see it. Plus, this isn't going to be the space fantasy. It's not going to be the, I mean, I hate to say it because I'm probably going to be inviting a lot of hate mail by even mentioning this possibility. But when you look at the style of storytelling of Star Wars, any of them, it is the depth is more in the symbolism and the aspects of the mythology than it is in the actual style of the storytelling. It's not deep in that way. It's deep in the mythology and it's deep in the symbolism and the representations of different things. It's very fantasy. It's how do I put it? There are many people who see it as being shallow and cannot appreciate the other aspects of what's there. And they see it as shallow based on the fact that it's a lot of the way in which the storytelling happens at first glance can be very superficial. Because of the style of movie it is. This is going to be a completely different style. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all. But I think this is going to be something that's more actual science fiction and is actual war story. And in that way, I think it's going to be such a different style of movie that it could actually appeal to a larger audience.
See, I think it'll be more war movie than sci-fi.
I agree.
Set in a sci-fi world, yeah, but I don't think it's going to be a sci-fi movie at the theater.
No, you're right.
I do have to disagree with something you said a few minutes ago, and I was trying to break in, but I want to let you finish your thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You had mentioned that you think there's going to be more people seeing this movie, or I shouldn't say more. You mentioned people will see this movie that weren't Star Wars fans or didn't see TFA. I have a hard time with that comment.
Not that weren't Star Wars fans, but that we're not fans of who are Star Wars fans, but are not fans of TFA.
Okay. That makes more sense. Because I was going to say, I'd have a hard time seeing people coming to the theater in droves that weren't Star Wars fans that want to see this movie.
No, yeah. I'm talking about those who are,
and I misunderstood you,
are so staunch in what they cling to as their definition of Star Wars that they have a hard time accepting new directions for Star Wars. And so the eradication of the previous expanded universe combined with the new direction that The Force Awakens has taken, the exclusion of George Lucas's direct involvement with it, et cetera, et cetera. I'm talking about those people.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is a really, at some point we should probably put down some guesses. When we get Chris back on the show again, we'll have to put some
predictions,
educated guesses down of what we think it's going to do dollar wise, you know, opening weekend, first month, that kind of stuff. And see how close we get.
Yeah, I'm scared too. I'll get nowhere near it.
Well, you know, if it comes up, well, I know it'll come up, but when it comes up in our movie draft for winter, I'm really looking forward to see what this goes for on our market.
Yeah, I'm thinking of just removing it entirely.
Oh,
well, I mean, it's the obvious pick, right? It's the trump card.
That's true. If there's nothing else big being released in that same period, then maybe we just get rid of it entirely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's too much of a. Yeah, I'm thinking we may just remove it entirely. We'll see. But I think that it's like I said, I think that it makes a lot more sense to go with what you're talking about and what everybody else has been talking about as far as expectations of how it's going to do. But I think that the fact that it's different, and yet the fact that it's something that every Star Wars fan is familiar with, and it's such a radically different style of movie. If it's a good film on its own merit, aside from the Star Wars connection, if it holds together as a good, enjoyable film, regardless of what franchise it is, I think that this could really surprise people, and especially Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, they have certain expectations, and I think those expectations are the same that everybody else, you know, all of us have. I just think that it has the potential to do so much better than we're thinking.
And I really want it to, because that means Disney will not think twice about doing other movies that may be a bit of a stretch or a risk.
Right.
For that.
Right. And that's what I'm hoping for.
If this does horrible at the box office, then you can kiss goodbye any other, you know, maybe outside the norm movie for Disney from Star Wars.
We'll still get the Han Solo film.
Right.
But anything beyond that may get dropped.
Yep.
Well, I don't think it's going to do that badly. I mean, that's the thing. It's, I would have a hard time believing that even if it didn't hold up to the other Star Wars films, I mean, like you said, if it's Deadpool level, it's still made more than most other films.
Right, right.
Out there, so.
Now, there's been a lot of discussion in our chat room here about this topic we're talking about here. In fact, Joel brought up, he says, he'll bet anyone a beer that Rogue One will win either Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, or Best Supporting Actor at the 2017 Oscars. That is some pretty strong words there, Joel.
Yeah, well, and as Tim pointed out, the Academy doesn't like sci-fi.
Right.
As evidenced by the fact that Mad Max Fury Road was nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's obviously an exception and a very abnormal situation. But it was pointed out earlier in the chat room that if any Star Wars film did have an opportunity to get nominated in any of those categories, this could be it. Because this is the type of film that wouldn't be seen as, I guess, what I was roundabout kind of getting to earlier, as a silly, fantastical space movie, which I think is still how a lot of the Hollywood critics look at Star Wars. Oh, bunch of loser fanboys, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's still how it's perceived, I think. And that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. This would be perhaps the first Star Wars film to break that mold and to be respected by film critics.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I'd like to see them get some credibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike points out we could get a Rogue 2. And then eventually when we get to the fifth movie, we'll have Luke. Rogue 5. Oh, that's Red 5. Oh. Never mind. Okay.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Pop quiz. Who played Rogue 2, or what was the character who was assigned Rogue 2 to Battle of Hoth?
Battle of Hoth?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ah.
Who was it?
I'm not telling.
Oh.
Wasn't it Zev Seneska? He's the one that found Han and Luke, right?
I don't know.
I think so. And then Wedge, I think, was Rogue One. Anyway.
Yeah, Tim and Sharon said
Wedge. Yeah, Rizikai in the
Wedge too, but
Sharon got it.
Sure.
No, Dak was Luke's gunner.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, that wasn't really what I had planned for the discussion segment for this episode, but I think that, okay. I mean, we're at 45 minutes now, and I think that that was kind of an interesting discussion. At least I like to think so. I mean, we've talked before about the hurdles that Rogue One would have to overcome, but I think this is the first time we've really taken a look at what it may actually do or not do.
I think so, yeah. And right now, I mean, I said this a few weeks back, I'm just salivating for a trailer.
Yeah, I want to know where our trailer is.
You know, I mean, maybe we're not going to get it yet. Maybe we need to let some of the summer movies start to hit or spring movies start to hit. You know, we're getting into that season before we get a trailer. Maybe they want to wait till after some of the buzz is gone from things like, you know, Batman v Superman, that kind of stuff. But
I'm telling you, we might not get one until Celebration Europe.
Oh, God, that's going to kill me. July.
I know. But I think that there's a benefit of doing that, too. So much of the Star Wars history has been, and I don't just mean the history of the films, I mean the history of the fandom, has been so America-centric. Partially because Lucasfilm, I kind of feel like George Lucas never really broadened outside of the U.S. that much. Not that he was disinterested in doing so. I just think that he didn't really look at it the same way as Disney, which is obviously has a very international focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is a great opportunity for Disney to treat the European fan base, which is a very strong fan base and a very strong community. I think that this is an opportunity for them to demonstrate to the European community that they take the European fan community seriously and that they want Celebration Europe to be the same thing for Europe as how we see it here in the United States. And they don't want to just have all of the big reveals here in the U.S. at Celebration. They want to do the same sort of thing over there, too.
Mm.
So, and if they do that, I have a lot of respect for that. I think that would
that
be
makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wish they had it in like May instead of July.
You know, and then once again, you know, we're probably not going to get anything really good for Rogue One at New York Comic Con that we're both going to be at. Because it'll all be announced by then. We're in that dead space where nothing else is going to come around new for the movie. So
we'll get an exclusive press screening.
Yeah,
I see that happening.
Yeah. They're going to send you a disc personally. We can both watch it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. We'll have our own private screening room.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, we'll have our own random chatter private screening panel that we'll invite people to.
Eric, I think the gases coming off your microphone are making your head a little light, maybe.
Just
wondering there.
Foam from the... Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good thought, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week of Echo Base. Again, we're sorry Chris couldn't make it, but hopefully he'll be back with us next week. You can follow Chris on Twitter at The Curse of Chris. I am Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Lou, where are you on Twitter?
Just my name. It's Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. You can follow the Echo Base podcast account on Twitter. It's just Echo Base Podcast. And I'm starting to actually get active on that. I'm you know, retweeting some Star Wars related stuff. For the non-Star Wars related stuff that we retweet, normally it's on the Random Chatter account. So be sure to follow that as well. And as always, you can email us, give us feedback, comments, suggestions, let us know what you think of the stuff that we talked about this episode. Send us email at echobase@randomchatter.com. We would love to hear from you. We've talked before about building up a selection of content for our upcoming listener feedback show. We want to wait until Chris is back for that, obviously. But, yeah, send us your comments and questions and suggestions and all that. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. That's more Chris's baby, so it might be a little slow for the next week or so, but you can definitely follow us there. You can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. Echo Base being our primary Star Wars show, but we also have the Sabacc table back now.
Yes. And speaking of the Sabacc table, we'll have another episode coming out in April here. But before we have that one out, I want to make a quick little announcement that you and I, Eric, got to sit down and play with the new FFG game, Rebellion.
Oh, yes. I wanted to leave the episode
last
with
Sunday,
that.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a board game or a tabletop game they have based on basically the events of the episodes 4, 5, and 6. And 2 to 4 players, we just did one-on-one the other night, and I took the Imperial side and you took the Rebel side. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on in the game. Very cool, a lot of strategy involved. We think it's a little bit maybe skewed towards the Imperials, but I think it should be because it's... You know, we're the guys in power type thing. I say we because, you know, I play Imperials.
Of course.
And the Rebels are trying to combat against that. So it's always going to be an uphill battle for the Rebels. But I think it was a well-balanced gameplay.
See, that's the thing, though. I think the perception, the feeling is that it's skewed toward the Imperials. But then when you look at the cards and you look at the game mechanics, the win conditions for the Rebels, they don't have to win all the battles. They don't have to take over all the territory. They can be a little more insurgent-like. And they can pull it out that way. So you do get that feeling. That, I mean, there were a lot of times where I felt like, oh, my gosh, this is just I'm fighting a losing battle here. And then all of a sudden I would pull out, you know, big advances. I'd shut down some of your capital ship production.
Yeah. And you know, at one point I thought, hey, next turn I'm getting all these ships. I'm going to do this and this and this. And all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yeah. I removed stuff from your build queue. And I sabotaged the system so you couldn't add more stuff to it, which you were then able to undo as well. But yeah, it was more balanced than it might appear on the surface. It's a really good game. It's in depth. The first time you play it, you're going to have to set aside some time to actually learn the game.
Yeah,
but
good half a day probably.
It was complicated, but it wasn't hard, if that makes any sense. You know, complicated versus simple as opposed to hard versus easy. It was relatively easy, but there were a lot of things going on, but it didn't take like the learning curve. When you first open everything up and you look at the books,
It was steep.
Incredibly intimidating until you actually sit down and do it. And then, I mean, we really, once we actually started with the turns.
By the time we got to our third round, I think we were comfortable with the mechanics, how things worked, what we were expecting to do.
Right.
And we still had to look up a few rules here and there, but that's to be expected. Curve went away once you got into it and did a few rounds.
Exactly. Yeah. But I would say by the second turn, we felt pretty confident that like we were starting to build ideas of what we wanted to do in the next turn. And we were, you know, pretty smoothly going through the game. So I would highly recommend it. Lou, I imagine you agree.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. In fact, we're going to have a review up on randomchatter.com pretty soon, a written review, and we will definitely talk about this either in our next episode of Sabacc Table or maybe in a filler episode between.
Yeah. Now, full disclosure, we did get a review copy of this, but also in full disclosure, we did not get paid to advertise for this, and hopefully people who have been listening to us for enough years know that, we get a lot of press material for different things, and we only rave about something if we honestly feel it's worth raving about. And I've yet to play anything from Fantasy Flight Games that has not been worth raving about. I mean, every single game system I've played of theirs has been a good system. Even the ones that I've not continued to play, I'll be honest, I don't continue to play the LCG, but it's a great system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good game. It's just not my style of game compared to something like the X-Wing miniatures or something. So, Rebellion, this is like playing Monopoly. Okay, you're going to sit down and you're going to play this for probably 3 or 4 hours. It's going to be the type of thing you're going to go to your game store, and this is going to be your evening. It's not like X-Wing where you're going to get 4 or 5 different games in. This is the kind of thing where this is the event that you're going to go do at your local game store or at your friend's house or something like that. And you do want a large table for it. It was a lot of fun. I can't wait for the Sabacc Table episode where we're going to talk about this more in depth. And also there's more X-Wing stuff come out. We finally got the Ghost. And the cool thing about FFG's X-Wing miniatures is even if you don't play the game, they make awesome little, desktop artwork, basically. I mean, they're great little miniatures just to put on display.
Right. Yeah, they're fully painted. They look awesome. I can't say enough good things about the FFG X-Wing stuff.
Yeah, and the Ghost looks just incredible. I've got that sitting here, and it's awesome. Anyway, cool. So a little bit of a tangent. we don't often get into tangents during the closing, but that's okay. It's definitely worth picking up. The Rebellion is worth picking up, and also the X-Wing miniatures game. Of course, we've talked about that for years now. Great stuff.
But Rebellion's street date, I think, is March 31st.
A week from this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As we were saying, the Sabacc Table is back. So that's awesome news. And then we have our non-Star Wars shows on the network as well. The main Random Chatter show, which is basically a discussion show. We still have The Outer Rim, which covers general entertainment-based news. Jay from Jedi Journals, along with Josh, have their Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, their Flash podcast, their Arrow podcast, all great shows there. And we've got a couple of other new shows coming on the network. We have the Retro Convo. We're really happy to get that one. We don't have it posted yet, but keep an ear out for that one because that one is coming soon, and it is a phenomenal show. I'm very excited to get that one on the network. And we've got a couple of other things that we hope to be announcing soon as well. But again, randomchatter.com, that's where you're going to find all of those different shows. Follow us in iTunes or on Stitcher. You can get all the shows that way and keep up with the entire network. And we would love it if you would leave reviews on both of those sites. Help the exposure, help get the word out about the shows. Tell your friends about the show. That would be a great thing to help us out. Kind of form the Random Chatter Network community. And another way you can participate in that community is by hanging out with us live every Tuesday and Thursday night, starting at about 9 p.m. Eastern. And by about 9 p.m., I mean, that's when we're kind of starting to log into the chat room. We actually start the shows about a quarter after. But come hang out with us. We've got a live chat room here. As you know from listening to this episode, we do interact a little bit with the chat room and comment on things that they bring up. And I think it adds something to the show. I know that I feel better having a chat room here as we're recording and people chiming in.
Keep us on the straight and narrow sometimes, and yeah, they correct us wrong.
That's true. So again, 9 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday and Thursday nights, and that's at randomchatter.com/live. Or you can find us in Ustream. Just search for Random Chatter. And then finally, we have our Patreon site up and running. We're very grateful for the people who've helped us out so far. We like Patreon because it's a way that we can give something back to the people who help support the show. And so we're very grateful for that. I want to thank some of our donors. Joel, who's here in the chat room with us. We also have Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex. Thank all of you for participating. I mean, I think pretty much everybody in that list within the first 24 hours of us having our page up came and donated and helped us out. And we really appreciate that. That part of that's going to go toward things like, Lou, you mentioned us getting to New York Comic Con. We're going to be going to Celebration in 2017. We have to pay our own way to get there, but we are going to find a way to get there. And this is one of the ways that we're going to do that. So we really appreciate all of the donors at Patreon. And also, I'm pretty excited about one of the perks that we kind of gambled on. We thought we'd see how it goes. And so far, it's worked out really well. We have a Slack community that we use behind the scenes to communicate about different things on the network. And we thought, well, we have a couple of public channels there. Why don't we open that up to the Patreon donors and they can come hang out with us and participate in the discussions and stuff throughout their work day or, you know, on their weekend or whatever. And so there's a price point. I believe it's the $10 price point at which we will invite you into the Slack community and you can communicate with us directly there. So and it's worked out really well. I'm really thrilled about it. I feel kind of bad that we didn't come up with it a long time ago because it's really cool. Yeah, it's cool for us, too. We get to communicate directly with you guys. So anyway, so for more information on that, patreon.com/randomchatter. You can find out more information about that. And I guess that's it. So another episode of Echo Base is wrapped up. We will see you all next week. Until then, continue counting down the days until the release of The Force Awakens. I think we have one episode left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before it's on home entertainment.
Yes. And then a whole new world of topics are going to open up to us. It's pretty exciting. So until next week, take care, everybody.
See ya.
The Force will be with you always.